You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today I get to bring you one of my dearest North Carolina realtors. You're going to love Tara Tillman. And frankly, I know you're about to skip the whole conversation and go to the show notes so you can hang out with her YouTube channel, but enjoy this conversation because we've got information for you, and I'll see you on the other side.
How are you?
If you are.
I am great.
Now, is it Tara or Tara?
It is Tara in the South and Tara in the North. I prefer Tara. It sounds so much cleaner.
Well, good. We'll say Tara. That just channel the Gone with the Wind plantation house or whatever that was. Wasn't it Tara? Wasn't that name of Scarlett?
It was. But you know what the problem is? Is growing up, I was Tar because they never put the A on the end. So that sounded pretty bad.
Well, did you add heels to it? And then you're going to say, and that's what we do at Carolina. One side of the stadium says tar and the other side says heels.
No.
If you were tar, I would automatically say heels.
They didn't give me that. It was just tar. And then my last name was Jeter. So Tar Jeter in Columbia, South Carolina.
That sounds about as Southern a name as you could come up with.
Exactly. So Tara Jeter and now Tara Tillman just sounds so much more refined. I had to tell everyone in New York, I'm not country, I'm Southern. There's a difference.
And so you married a Tillman, so you went down in the alphabet, but now you can spell it. So there's something
I can spell it. That is correct. That is correct. And it sounds much more Southern.
I mean, honestly, it does. So where did you move to in New York?
I lived in, I would say every borough but the Bronx is what I told people. So as you can see, in my first life, I was in the music industry.
Okay, so what's the band behind you? And is that a special record? Did they win a, or is that a 45?
Yeah, actually, that is the Temptations. So my husband worked for Motown, and he did their Phoenix Rising album. What?
Are you going to tell me you knew the actual Temptations before several of them died and they turned into the current Temptations?
Well, actually, they were more the current Temptations because this was in the 90s. But they were still recording. Yeah. I mean, they were still recording, still making music. And so he got an opportunity to executive produce their album, which was amazing. It was their first platinum album in many decades.
I went and saw them and they were here with the Four Tops. It was the Temps and the Tops. And
weren't
that was
they good?
Probably like 94, 95, 96. Mm-hmm. It must have been about the time of that album.
On that Phoenix Rising album, yeah.
Great concert. We shagged the whole time because you get shagged to their beat.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Does he still work for Motown?
No, he does not still work for Motown. We run Westchester Realty since 2004. Music changed a whole lot in the early 2000s. And so
Napster. Young people don't even know what Napster is now.
That's right.
But upended.
Totally upended the music industry. 100%.
So now, were you in real estate first and then you dragged your husband in kicking and screaming, or y'all decided to do it together?
No, we had been self-employed and worked together for our entire marriage. He's from Charlotte and we met in New York. Yeah. So, so he was always an entrepreneur. Like he owned a postal service in Charlotte before we ever met. And so when we thought about moving back home, we thought we would do it at retirement, but it didn't end up that way. So we came back. And we thought we'd flip houses. That was the goal. We're going to come here. We're going to flip houses. And he goes, well, why don't you get your real estate license? Well, by then I had already helped several friends buy houses. I wasn't licensed, but I was just like, you got to get a house. You got to get a house. So I'm taking them to open houses. Yep. And my bestie is like, why don't you do real estate? And I'm like, whatever. And so we move here and he goes, why don't you get your license? Why would we pay someone else? And I was like, you know, that's a good idea. And that's what we did.
There you are.
And it turned into a business. 20 years later, here I am.
So I love that you mentioned, we'll just flip some houses. I think that's the most dangerous thing HGTV has put into the minds of the public is that no big deal. Just find a house, flip it, cost you about $5,000. You'll make it $1 million. It's so easy and so fun. And it's such an interesting space where I think most flippers lose money on the first house, maybe the second house before they turn it into a science. How many did y'all actually flip before you got the science figured out?
We flipped zero. Okay. Because what ended up...
I love you so much because this is a real life.
Yeah, no, we didn't. So what happened was we had purchased our first home together with a townhome in New York, and the market was down. The people had paid like $140. We ended up buying it for $90. We lived in it a couple of years. We found a home. We decided to rent it out. We had a great, great tenant. And my husband was like, oh, you know what? This has been too good. Let's sell it. We don't want to, you know, have a horrible tenant after this. So we sell the property. We make $100,000. We moved to we had purchased our home. It was a foreclosure. We bought it. We lived in it a couple of years. When it was time to move here, we sold it. We had paid like $320 for it as a foreclosure and sold it for $580 with no agent. So we were like, wait,
you're good.
This is music industry money. We need to go ahead and do some bent. We moved here. We actually never did end up flipping houses. We actually ended up doing real estate. So it was a perfect situation because when I took my real estate license back then, I could just take my license and my broker's license. And I'm sitting there listening to people in class and they're like, oh, well, I'm paying this and I'm going to this firm because, you know, I'm just listening, trying to figure it out. And I was like, no, I'm not doing any of that. We're just going to do our own thing, right? Because we're going to flip, right? We're going to flip houses. So we start our business. And we had lived on most of our money that we made selling our home and, you know, and developing this business and trying to figure out what we're going to do because we're starting over, right? So we decide, okay, well, you know what? Let's try to list some houses. Let's just see how that'll go, right? So we created this flyer. We didn't even put envelope. We stapled the flyer. We folded it, stapled it, and sent it out to a couple of neighborhoods. Yeah. We had our kids. We made some like postcards and our kids hung out the window and put them on people's mailboxes. And then post office called and said, hey, you can't do that. So then we had to actually buy stamps and we started getting listings and we started our business. And we were making
money. The tale of this time, the people who take action and go do something are the ones that get the listings.
That's
and it
right.
doesn't matter whether you've got a device in your hand or not. And I think so many people in real estate are always looking for the easiest path possible, the fastest way possible. But really, the old school flyer with the information dropped off with your kids as your worker bees has always worked. And I think it will always work. In fact, in a technology world, I think it's more powerful now than it was when you got started 20 years ago.
Well, I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anybody to tell me what to do. So we just did what we knew to do. We did something. We were coming from an industry where you promoted your record with a postcard and you just stood outside of a club and people just gave you cards. And that's how you knew what was going on the next day or the next Friday or whatever. And so we just took what we knew and just said, hey, let's just go out. We didn't have a lot of money. So stamps were kind of like, oh, we got gas, so we'll ride.
That promo piece and my mind just flashed back because obviously you and I are medium aged. Mm-hmm. And once upon a time, a new artist would stand outside a nightclub and hand out a promo 45 or a promo single. Remember the single?
That's right.
But mm-hmm. you would take it. And if you liked that song, you would go down to Peaches on Independence Boulevard. You were probably still at that time, but Peaches was great.
Yeah.
If your promo in, they might have the whole album, but that's how they decided which albums to stock is how many of the promo pieces came back. And there's a direct correlation to real estate that I've never
thought
about.
It really is.
So what and sample house can we put out there?
Yeah, and you know, but you know what? That was street promotion. And
yeah,
that's what we knew.
We knew
that's right. And so that's how we started. But then I made a mistake. I started looking what other people were doing.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, oh, we should have some agents.
No, Tara.
Everyone else has agents. Why don't we have agents?
Oh, Tara.
And we started this business right here in this room, right? For 3 years, we worked here and I kept saying, if we could just get an office and get some agents, we'll grow, right? Get an office. We have 25 agents now and only 3 of them are selling.
Well, that sounds about right. That's on par with the industry average. Good job.
And but I didn't know that. I didn't know that, though.
Wait a minute. How many in the office had the little black cloud following them around where everything was trouble? 2 of them?
Oh, yeah. No, there was one. They just decided they were going to make up their own rules. Like, they almost put me in the back of the book. I was like, oh, no, you guys, you need to start your own business. There was a husband and wife couple. I was like, you guys need to go find your own way because this isn't going to work.
This is not your way.
This is not your way. Yeah, I had 2 who actually almost ended me in the back of the book. You remember the back of the book?
And by the way, to the public, let me tell y'all what Tara's talking about. So now it's in an email, but with the North Carolina Real Estate Commission, and if you're watching this from another state, you should know our commission, this is how they get the emails opened. And it, once upon a time, was how we got the book opened. There's this little thing called disciplinary actions. Every single person with a license that I know, the minute that email hits, they're clicking on disciplinary actions to see who got in trouble. And of course, before email, it's the book Tara's talking about. And I've talked to people in other states, Tara, and they're like, how do people read the emails from the commission? I'm like, well, easy. Everybody opens it and goes straight to disciplinary actions to see who did something so bad the state would crack down on them, because the state has, right now, I think we have 126,000 licenses in North Carolina. 57,000 are realtors. And so there's more than double the number of realtors that have a license roaming around. And when you have that many licenses, the sins are pretty egregious to land on that list. It's not like you just made one clerical error. These are bad, bad things. And frankly, I think we're all attracted to the fact that we can feel a little superior. That's what it boils down. Like, I didn't do that. Woo! So anyway, that's what Tara's talking about, is the, used to be the book, now it's the email. But as a broker, you have a very active decision to make when somebody that works for you, like you said, is making up their own rules. And even if they're selling everything in the market, you're the one carrying the risk. And so you are well advised to give them a new career pathway that doesn't have your license attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Well, now that sounded country, Tara. So if you want to be genteel, that doesn't count.
You know, I got a little country in me.
I bet at certain times it comes out stronger than others.
It comes out certain times. That's correct. And especially when you put my license at risk.
Exactly. Which is, I wish the public understood that, by the way, that when you hire an agent, if they are not their own broker, somebody else's license is attached to them. And so it's inherent on us when we have the brokerage that we do hire people that don't put us at risk, put our licenses at risk, put their license at risk, or put the public at risk. And Tara, now I'm realizing we forgot to tell the public, we talked about your name plenty, but we forgot to tell them where you're located right now conducting business, which is?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Right in the heart of the biggest economic transformation I think North Carolina has ever seen, is that area around what we affectionately call the mega site, where Toyota is currently, as of the time of this recording in February of 24, the investment so far by Toyota is $14 billion just in the center of North Carolina. Greensboro and Guilford County are one of the biggest crisis spots because of that growth, because often we don't talk about the fact that economic investment and job investment leads to housing crisis, because there's just not enough rooftops. And if you look at the heat map, I mean, Guilford County is hot red for the lack of housing. I'm curious, with you being 20 years in the business, what's the biggest impact you've seen because of the coming economic investment? Because that's the wildest thing about it. We're in a housing crisis now, and it's not even fully here yet. So you're the pro, you've been around the block, and what are you seeing on the ground right now?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is I have, in the past 10 years, really become an advocate for homeownership. Because the biggest thing that I'm seeing is that local people cannot afford homes. And the fact that there are so many apartments coming up everywhere, and these institutional investors buying up everything that they can buy up and just creating a generation of renters. And so my advocacy has been, well, let me just back up a little bit and say the bulk of my business has been selling HUD, VA, and USDA properties. So our business is foreclosures. You know, when the market crashed, we had been selling 250 and up, and that just went away. Like, right, we couldn't sell those houses. And so by the grace of God, we found out about this HUD program, the Good Neighbor Next Door. But no one here was selling it at the time. I was the first in this area to sell it. And I mean, I was racking up sales. I mean, I went from crying in my pillow, like, how are we going to eat, to, you know, at least having 5-6 in a pipeline a month. It was amazing. And that led me to listing HUD properties. And the thing that was wonderful about that transition for me was that I had to learn about so many different programs to allow people to get into properties. And what I learned from that experience is none of us are selling houses. You can't sell a house. You've never sold a house, right?
But great. Come on. There we go. Let's
That's right. But what you can sell is a product. If you know of a product to get a person in a house, that's what you're selling. So when I learned about the Good Neighbor Next Door program, which allowed teachers, firefighters, EMS workers, and police officers to buy a house at 50% discount, only have to put $100 down, and I was going to earn 5%, I could sell that all day, right? When I learned that FHA and a HUD property only required to put $100 down, I could sell that, right? When I found out about VA and 0% down, I could sell that. And so my advocacy now is trying to find new ways that people can purchase, even if it's a little bit outside the market. So for example, my daughter just graduated from Syracuse University, and she's in grad school at Syracuse here locally online. But she was talking about moving out. She's 22. We, two grown women in a house.
It's time.
Yeah, it was time. And so she was talking about getting her own apartment, and these were threats being thrown around. And I was like, that sounds like a good idea to me, right? So, I'm a realtor. Been a realtor a long time. I'm going to find you a house because that's what we're going to do. So I started looking, and literally because I knew about down payment assistance, she was on her first job making $40,000. Well, the down payment assistance cutoff is $43,000. Perfect. This is the one and only time she's going to be able to use this program.
Right.
Right. Because by next year,
her income's going to be up. Yep.
That's right. She won't be able to use it. So we were able to find her a condo in Greensboro in an amazing location, two bedrooms. She got a mortgage. She got $20,000 in down payment assistance, which means the price of her home was reduced by $13,000. She ended up getting closing costs out of the rest and got $1,000 back at closing, and is paying way less than she would have been paying in rent. And so I advocate, I say, agents, please don't get stuck in one space saying, oh, I only do luxury homes. You have people in your family who can't buy a house because you don't know how to sell it to them. You don't know enough about the programs that really affect people's lives for you to help the people around you who really need it. And so I started that YouTube channel to teach people, to teach agents specifically about programs where they could use those programs to help people around them. Because if we're not in it for that, if we're only in it for the commission, what are we doing?
Well, and the reality is the market will shift, and markets always shift up and down. So I'll say it, if you're snooty and you think you're too good to help a down payment assistance person, you're probably not going to survive the next market shift. And frankly, if you're that snooty about it, I'm going to judge a little bit, because our goal as real estate professionals should be to do what Tara's talking about, find as many pathways possible so you have the whole Golden Corral buffet to offer to people. And by the way, I'm going to link her YouTube channel in the show notes.
Yay.
If you're people that are fixing to say, where's her channel? I got it in the show notes. Don't panic about that. If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky-high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. But millions of dollars have gone untapped in down payment assistance over the past few years, and the excuse is usually, well, nobody will take it. You haven't presented it. So can you give them a good case study besides your daughter for why agents need to get educated on this? Because it drives me a little crazy how many just operate on assumptions, or they operate on something they heard some other agent say 20 years ago about how hard it is, and they never dig in. And of course, you've got a lot of stuff on your YouTube channel, but give them one place to get started with learning about down payment assistance in the market where they are now. Obviously, North Carolina has a huge ton of programs. Every market does. So if somebody's in Syracuse and they want to go talk to some new big orange graduate about down payment assistance, where could a New York agent start looking? And you're not even in that market, but you know where to start them.
housing finance agency. Everybody has one, right? And literally, you can just Google down payment assistance, Syracuse, New York, down payment assistance, South Carolina. It's going to pop up, right? And what you need to realize is that the person who qualifies for down payment assistance today won't always be that buyer, right? They're going to grow. And now, because you've helped them to get started from the ground up, you're also going to help all of their friends. You're going to help those move up buyers. I don't just sell to down payment assistance or right. to $100 down. I sell to buyers who have moved up, who have been with me 10, 15 years. This is their second, third home. So we have to just realize that we can help people by just saying, hey, let me start from the ground up. We know that there is a crisis. We know that there is a problem in the industry right now. So to be able to help those people who would not otherwise have help, that should be our goal. All you have to do is Google down payment assistance. Look at the $100 down FHA program. Look at VA has a VIND program for non-veterans. It's a veteran loan for non-veterans. You should be looking into that, like any possible way to help your cousin who needs a house, right? Start right there. Start right there in your family.
I love that. It goes to the heart of what you said earlier, where you feel the crisis on the dream of homeownership because of the proliferation of apartments everywhere. So if an agent would go do what you're describing here, you could then effectively talk to a renter about why you want to get a stake in the ground. Yes, you want to get a stake in the ground now because you won't qualify next year and your income will be up because Greensboro is in the middle of a housing shortage that is insane. So get some stake in the ground now, so that you can ride that wave. Because if you never get started, how in the world will you ever catch up? And the gap, I think, is growing, not just because things are more expensive, but because there seems to be a lack of initiative to just get started. And I think some of that comes from the mindset of, well, these apartments are brand new and I've got granite, I got hardwood, mm-hmm. and it's a bit cool. And so if I buy mm-hmm. this little gross house, it's so gross and it's not cute. There's this desire for perfection that I think people need to let go of that in order to get a stake in the ground. So just get yourself started. And all of these things add up to the most important part of what you're saying, which is that all comes from you, the local realtor. It's never going to come from whatever they Googled is not going to explain to them the cascading effects of what's happening in Greensboro because of the economic drivers, because of the shortfalls. And there's dollars available and your income's going to grow. So you, the realtor, have this entire story that you get to tell they won't get anywhere else. And that's such an amazing competitive advantage.
And people don't know why. Like you said, they don't know why they should own. It's just a lack of education, right?
Absolutely.
I talked to a lady the other day and we're talking about grown single women too. We're not just talking about college educated people. We are talking about women who are our age who have not purchased, right? Not realizing that we're closer to retirement than we are away from retirement. And
well,
the truth is,
except that we're in real estate, normal people would be closer to retirement.
That is correct. I mean, retirement age. Let me just say that. Retirement age. Because I don't know if I'll ever retire, but
you don't have to because we love
it. No, that's right. But retirement age means how are you going into retirement with rent?
I wouldn't want to. I don't want to rent now. And I understand the desire to not be obligated, to not have to do the maintenance. But y'all, rents go up all the time. And if they don't go up, it's because the economy is in the crapper and that's not really going to benefit you either. But that house, any of those loan programs you talked about, Tara, those are all fixed programs. And so you know you can count on that house payment. And at least, like I said, you got a stake in the ground. It's something people have to be willing to commit. Maybe it's a commitment issue.
It is a commitment issue, but it's education. It really just is education because even someone who comes to you and says, well, you know, I don't want maintenance. Well, get a condo, get a townhouse. Someone else will take care of the exterior. You're in an apartment. You can call someone if your sink is backed up, but you're paying a premium for that. Cheaper to call a plumber, honey.
Or call Tara for Tara's plumber because she knows which one is reputable. So there's also that little extra perk of having us as your agents. All right. So in working with your husband, what's been the biggest challenge of your personal life being completely intertwined with your professional life?
I don't like to listen.
Oh, but what's that got to do with real estate?
Well, listen, he is the business, right? He is the business. He is the person who knows how to do our taxes. He is the person who knows how to create a business, right? He is the person that, see, I'm the creative, I have the greatest ideas, but if you ask me to set up an office, I won't even know where the files are. Like, literally, I'll be like looking because I'm just not organized in that way.
You expect him to know where the files are. Hey, baby, where's the file?
Where's the file? Well, actually, he sets up the systems, right? So that I know where the file is because he set up an organized system for me to be able to do it. I love dealing with people. He would rather, much rather be in the background, right? Like long years ago, I was like, don't deal with clients, right? Because there are going to be some of them, you know, you got to be patient. You got to be kind of hand-holdy. No, he's not that person, right? So I would say that the biggest thing for us has been learning to play our position. And more me, because he doesn't try to swerve in my lane, but I'm a bad swerver sometimes. So I kind of learn how to stay in my lane and just do what I do best.
I love that. And that really applies, by the way, listeners and friends, if you're not married and you still have a business partner, you've got to take Tara's advice and look at which lane you're both supposed to be in. But I freaking love the way you describe that he is a lane minder, which kind of fits the organized number person. They tend to be more spreadsheet checklist than people like you and me who are going to go make it happen.
Yeah.
And we're swervers. So what is the best way to for him to redirect you back into your lane? Because obviously, those of us that are drivers, we're not easy to redirect because in our head, we figured it out and we're just going to crush right through it. What is a good skill for managing the swerver, in your opinion, as one?
Well, you know what he does? He says, okay, you do it. I'll go struggle. I'm pulling my hair out. I'm all of this.
And then he's
laughing and I say, yeah. And I go back and I say, I need your help. I can't do this. I need your help. And he's like, okay, no judgment. You know, just either you can do it or you can't. And so I've learned over 20 years. Well, we've been married 30 years almost this year. 30 years. So in this 30 years, I've learned that he has something valuable to bring. And my value, you know, his value is not less than mine. And mine is not less than his. It is complementary. It makes it 100%.
Right.
Right. Because even like you said, if you have a partner and you're good at one thing, but you're not good at the other, you're lacking. Like your business can't grow.
Right.
Not as well as it would if you had that other piece. And so when you understand that it makes the whole, it's easier to stay in your lane.
So how do the two of you turn off the real estate long enough to have a healthy marriage? Because 30 years is just beautiful. And we don't hear enough stories about successful marriages. What's the secret sauce to not letting real estate run your marriage?
Well, he's not going to let it run. I mean, he's an alpha male.
He's not a swerver.
He's not a swerver. He knows how to relax. He enjoys relaxing. And so I find it more difficult to take time off and, you know, because I'm always on go mode, right? I'm like, hey, got a finite number of years here. Let's go get it. Let's get it done. Can't be playing around.
My husband's going to listen to this and say, I feel for Tara's husband because you and I are, I think, a lot alike when it comes to that.
Yeah. And he's like, let's go on vacation. He's like, you know, I'm not working today. I'm on the golf course. So, but it works because he doesn't mind my desire for more and to do more and to climb higher mountains. And I don't have a problem with his wanting to relax. And I have to, it's good for me because it does give me opportunity to relax because he'll go, it's time to go on vacation.
And we all know that's the secret to getting a hot streak going in your business is let people know you're going to be out of town. And suddenly every buyer you've ever talked to and every seller will come out of the woodwork like clockwork. It always happens. So let me ask you a question then, since you're medium aged, how are you preparing a business transition for the future when it's you and your husband and things change in the future, you may decide to take a different direction, whether it's an investment or education, and kind of scale back on the buying and selling. Are you bringing somebody in behind you to learn the unique way you've built this business that's make it work? Or have you gotten to that point yet?
You know, I haven't gotten to that point, but I am transitioning, right? I've done the get in the car long enough. And right now, I probably don't work with as many buyers and sellers, only really people who I've worked with for a long time, and they're still calling or they're sending their friends. But I'm not actually looking for real estate sales anymore. I'm really transitioning more into education because I feel like that's the gap. Like that's the missing piece, right? And because I didn't have that, I'm in a unique position to help people from another standpoint, right? Because there is a traditional way and then there's a non-traditional way. And I'm that non-traditional way girl because I didn't learn the traditional way. I don't even know it, right? So
I think that your way appeals too to the reason so many people get into real estate. They get in because they like that there is definitely a non-traditional opportunity and it can look like anything, but sometimes you don't know until you're 20 months into it. You're going to allow them to cut that learning curve a little bit shorter by thinking outside the traditional pathway of what you see agents posting on Instagram, which they're all just posting each other. So it may or may not even be working. Your real advantage as an educator is that you're not just talking about things, you've done them and it has worked. And scaling that knowledge out to other people makes the entire real estate world better. So if there's one tiny thing that somebody would learn from you if they came to your class that would tell them about a non-traditional pathway, what's the one thing you would tell agents to be prepared for when they walk into your classroom?
Passion, fire, and I'm going to get you going because I just believe in advocacy. I am pushing advocacy all the way. We've got a lot of land grants going on in Greensboro. They're talking about doing these land grants. And so haven't been a big fan of them. So I'm pushing home ownership while they're pushing renting because it's really a glorified rent.
I know we have that same thing happening in Concord. And in my work with Habitat, we have been pushing back so hard on it because they're not really telling people what they're signing up for. The people that are signing up think they're getting home ownership, their stake in the ground, their equity, and they won't find out because people don't read the fine print, as you know, until down the road, and then the city will have benefited, but not the citizens. And that drives me crazy because home ownership really does benefit any citizen of the community who's willing to figure out the pathway. And if they think that's the same pathway as buying your house with your mortgage, it's not the same thing. Y'all, please, please ask better questions and read the whole thing. The government's not always going to bring to you the best possible option.
No. And here's the thing. The biggest thing to know is the reason I could move here, start all the way over, was because I had equity. And if my equity is capped, then how do I move to the next place? Because the market is continuing to grow. So if I can't get market value for my house to be able to put it into the next place, then I'm stuck. And that's what you're not going to have is upward mobility.
Right.
And so that is my fight, advocacy and upward mobility. And if you come to one of my classes, that's what you're going to hear. Advocate, advocate, advocate for the people around you.
And it's because of real estate, you've been able to build a life that you designed with your husband, not a life designed by any corporate entity or anybody but the two of you, even though, frankly, you might look back in your history and say, golly, I wish we hadn't sold that first property, but it was selling the first property that allowed you to get the next property that's allowed you to do all of the freedoms you have now. So it's also a gift that you give people that you don't look back at your history and say, man, I wish I shoulda, coulda, woulda. You just look at it and say, that helped, this helped, this helped. You are such a forward-thinking person. And I wish more real estate agents had that ability because that's also one of your gifts in advocacy is helping your clients see forward because you're giving them all the tools to do it.
And I'm a big believer that all things work together for the good.
Well, it says so in the Bible. And
that's right.
You know, the Bible's not been proven wrong yet. So I think I'll go ahead and lean on it myself.
Me too. And that's a truth that I carry with me. It's no need to have regrets because all things work together. Even if it's been a really hard thing that you had to learn, guess what? Education isn't free.
That's right. And we know who wins.
Don't pay for it.
That's right. It works out fine.
Always.
So Tara, in addition to all the links that are in the show notes, if somebody wants to reach you, what is the best platform? Where do you spend the most time if they want to stalk your content? Is it YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, email? Where's the best way to find Tara?
It is YouTube. And you can always call me. You can reach out to me. You can email me. However you want to reach out. I am here to mentor, train, and coach. So whatever you need, give me a call or give Lee a call because she's bomb.
I mean, we're kind of in the same mindset. So you should always know, too, if you're watching and listening to this and you think you're the only one that does your thing, I promise you, you're not. Mm-hmm. And the more you get out there and spend time with your fellow professionals, the more opportunities you have to meet people like Tara who just get your fire lit again for you. So get out there, get off the devices after you finish this episode and go meet some humans. And in the meantime, say something nice about Tara in the comments right here. Make sure you visit her YouTube channel. I promise you, it is worth every minute you're going to spend over there. And then Tara and I are both going to charge you that once you learn something from her channel, you've got to use it. Go talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, get yourself more educated, because each one of y'all, you're the future of somebody else's real estate future life. And they're not going to get that anywhere but from you. So be like Tara, go learn something and then put it back out there. Tara, thank you so much for everything you're doing for people to just get themselves started and then they can expand like you've expanded. I'm so grateful to know you and to have you on the show today.
And it is wonderful being here. Thank you so much for having me. And I got to say one last thing, and that is go vote, people. Vote locally. You have to. This is how things get done. This is how things get changed. It's not about the presidential election. Yes, it is to some degree, but it's more about local politics.
All the way down the ballot, every race. And if you don't know which candidate matches you, call them.
There you go.
I always judge people by whether or not they call me back. I mean, it's my
or answer their phone.
You're working for me if I elect you, so call me back.
That's right. Vote Lee Brown.
You should totally do that. And regardless, please, y'all, all the way down the ballot, make good decisions, because it's my future and Tara's future that depend on your vote, too. So do it for us, if not for yourself.
That's right. Please vote. It was a pleasure, Lee. Thank you.
I'm so grateful. All right, friends, make sure you subscribe for more and follow up with Tara. And we'll see you back here next time on Crazy Shit in Real Estate.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more Crazy Shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you have some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.